in the bed with it. Brother Fred and the children are in the bed with it. Sister Lynette's home taking care of them. Who else has got it? Sister Elsie's sick. Al stayed home with her. The Dodson household's sick with it. And Tanya? Your brother, Neth is sick. Okay. Oh, we just, and Sister Hutchinson's been in the hospital with it. She was hoping to make it today, but I'm not sure she will. My wife was up, dressed, getting ready to come to church, and texted me a few minutes ago, said, "I'm so dizzy, my ears stopped up. I'm going back to bed." Which I told her, I said, "I wished you wouldn't come, because there's no sense in spreading this around. You know, there's no sense. If you're sick, it's evidently very contagious." Uh-huh. Public church got it. Evidently, a canceled church Wednesday in Republic because of it. I don't know, but I don't know if it spread in the youth meeting is where, you know, but we didn't have anybody in the first aid room, or nobody was sick that we knew of. But anyway, we're Sister Linda Fisher's taking care of the Phil and Jennifer's kids. So I just feel like we ought to have special prayer right here for our home folks that are so sick, Brother Brandon. Okay. Yeah. Dallas, Nashville, they're... Who? Oh, Beckwith. So evidently there was a bug here some way, and so let's all stand. Just ask God. Let's just take this here special. God, this flu bug, Lord, that's affecting your people. Lord, we just petition you and ask you to drive this thing out of our midst and out of our lives, oh God. Help our faith, oh God, to believe you for complete healing and deliverance from this sickness that is affecting our people, Lord, and the people that are in other churches in the body of Christ. God, touch them and help them in Wichita and Nashville and Dallas and Jerseyville and Godfrey and those churches, Lord. Oh God, touch our local people, Jesus, the Stewart family and the Fisher family. Oh God, help them, Lord. Each one that's sick, precious Savior, we're asking you to touch their lives, touch their bodies, and heal them of this condition. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Touch our service today and help us, Lord, we pray. Praise God. All right. Brother Bobby Lukes is back with us. He's getting to be a regular back there. Aren't we glad he's here? Yeah. Amen. Good to have you, Brother Bob.
Got a new Odyssey.
Is that right?
Not a new one. It's an 08.
Thank you.
Oh, I thank you. again today. Thank God for being in his house today, and thankful for the ones that are well, that's not sick. So, although we was here amongst the young folks, but let's pray for those that are not here. Thank God that he is mindful of us, and he want us to be mindful of his people and their needs. And so I'm just thankful to be here today and to have an opportunity to come fellowship with God's people, listen to Brother Smith's words this morning, and talking about God's plan. You know, God has a plan for his people in the earth. And all we have to do is try to fit into God's plan. You know, I can't alter his plans or change it, but I can change me and allow myself to be able to fit in God's plan. Because God's going to have people that's going to, you know, he has means of taking us through things and this world. You know, he can bring things on this world to cause people to come to their knees, to put people on their knees. He has the means, what I'm saying. He has the means to bring about his will and his plans. And I have to just try to adjust my thinking and try to fit with God. You know, be a part of what God is doing. Even just look for the Lord. You know, we can have an attitude to even look for God and what's going on in this world, you know. God still rules in the kingdom of men. You know, although, you know, people boast about what they're doing, and we have people that have become wise, and, you know, Bible said that man, God made man upright, and he sought out many inventions, you know, that there are wise people in this world we live in. But it's not just because, you know, God allows these things to happen. And, you know, you don't want to discredit people. Give them credit for what credit is due. But overall, God is ruling in the kingdom of men. And we know that he has a plan. Salvation, you know, he allowed. You know, he made preparation a long time ago to let Jesus, you know, come to this world. A lost and undone world. You know, he sent his son to have a plan for salvation for mankind. You know, he didn't just let this world just go headlong into destruction, but he provided a plan of salvation that people that wanted to. They wanted to make changes and see, you know, sometimes you let, you know, if you got children, you talk to them and you deal with them, and sometimes they just have to bump their heads. You know, you can do all you can do, and they just have to bump their head. So somewhere along the line, you know, God allowed men, you know, mankind, to be able to realize they need God. You know, that, and you can't put that. You know, Brother Tuck used to tell us, you know, a wise man learned from others' mistakes. Of course, most people are average. They learn from their own. But sometimes you fall in the other category where you never learn. You know, if you can be a foolish person and never learn, walk through this world and never learn. But, of course, most people are average. You know, we kind of have to learn from our own mistakes, but we want to learn. I want to learn in this world how to realize that I need God, to be able to call upon him. And, you know, even though you might, like Brother Smith mentioned, his brother that's real bashful and shy, I grew up shy in life and bashful and all these things. But, you know, I'm still that way in a sense. But some of it I got over it. But we have to realize somehow in this life, you know, that we need God. And then God has a plan. We had some people drop by. We was out yesterday getting ready to leave. But these folks, I mean, I don't have any fault with them. You know, they visited on Saturday in the neighborhoods, and they were passing out paperwork. And you know, they you have to take your hat off to them. At least they're getting out there doing something. So, anyway, we was talking to them some a little bit. But one of their papers, they was talking about religion. You know, all these religion, how to recognize, you know, true religion. Of course, you know... but anyway, we are living in a world where you're bombarded, you know, with religion. I remember one day I was at work and talking to this guy. We was talking about the world and conditions of the world and all. And this lady, she just spoke up and said, y'all just trying to cram religion down people's throat, you know. And I know people have that attitude, you know, that religion is the reason why we're having all these problems, religious wars and these kind of things. And that's true, but overall, God is still going, God has a plan. And he wants us to be able to fit in his plan. And that's what I want to realize. I can find fault and all kind of things, but I know I can't find fault with God. And I know that God knows our needs and he can help every one of us. And I find no fault with God. You know, I know there's a lot of things you can find fault with, but not with God. You know, we are people that was created. We're not even paying for the air we breathe. You know, God's provided that for us. We're born in his world, and he provided the necessary things. And I even consider when they talk about the sparrows that flies around, the birds, and they don't go out and work jobs and provide for themselves, but God feeds them. You know, I know we do feed some animals, but anyway, in all these things, you know, we just consider God. You know, I know we have to, you know, provide for our families and all that, but I don't want to lose sight of what God has done for us and what he is doing. I don't want to lose sight. I don't want to get in this world and get, Melinda just talked about those seven habits of effective men or something like that. And one of them had to deal with, you know, just out there clearing the brush, you know, in the jungle. But somebody has to go look and see where we're headed. Are we still on the right path? You know, we might be clearing brush. We might be working, busy, doing things, clearing the pathway that we need to walk. But somebody had to be able to climb up a tree or whatever, and see if we're still on the path we're supposed to be on. Are we still headed in the right direction? We may be clearing all this out. We may be doing a lot of good. But are we still headed in the right direction? And I thank God for his ministry, you know, to help us, to keep us on path, on the right track, and keep us looking to God, keep our faith in God, our confidence in God, keep knowing that we're not just doing this ourselves, but we know that God is the one that's providing, and we're workers and vessels, you know, being used by God, and we are in his kingdom, and if we can just let God, you know, help us work for him, you know, let him help us work for him. And so I'm just thankful to be a part of God's kingdom, be a part of God's people. And I'm thankful that people are sincere, concerned, you know, that we are trying to keep our chin up, trying to keep our faith in God and keep working, you know, for God. We don't want to just be working, but we want to be working for God. So it's good to be here today, good to come out here and begin to reach out, and we want to pray. I know we've had special prayer for those that got this bug, you know, during the youth meeting. We visited with Sister Jackie Tucker yesterday, and my wife and I, and she need our prayers. She spoke go Monday. She got a 3:00 appointment Monday with her, what is it, the oncologist, and she won't prayer for that. So remember her, and Brother Smith mentioned Sister Brenda Hutchison. She's home, but I'm sure she appreciates your prayers. And then Sister Della Rosa. We got to have Sister Della Rosa today with us. God, good to see her again. God bless her. See, Sister who? Sister Kitchen. Sister Olivia Kitchens. Good to have her. And her baby. I forget her. What's her name? What's your baby's name? Alias? Kayleen. Alias. Kayleen. All right. Yes. I know he's been here before, but with Brother Johnson now. What's Brother Travis? Good to see you, Brother Travis. God bless you. Yes, Brother was mentioned, Brother Bob. He coming some. He was here during the youth meeting. So good to see him, and hope he finds something about these people he likes. who that used to talk about people coming, there ought to be something that you can find about this, if you like, you know. Our services are not all the same, so but we are trying to please the Lord. We're searching and seeking God all the time, but that's why we want to be open and let God bless our services. We don't want to plan it out. We don't want to have an agenda. We want to be open to the Lord. And just that alone is scary, to be to come into a place like this and not have some people get nervous. You know, you don't have a program or a something outline or something that you want to say or you want to sing. And, you know, isn't that scary to be to come in not even knowing what you're going to sing, not knowing what you're going to say? And not knowing, you know, just come to God's house. Present ourselves before God and just let God do what he would have to do, what he would. I'm sure people get nervous about that. We kind of get used to it, I guess, doing it that way. And it works. You know, we can come here and hear these good praises about the Lord and worship, singing about being included. You know, God and he didn't leave us out. He didn't leave us, any of us out. And we can be included in God's kingdom and be able to fit in his kingdom. That's the thing, you know, you can be somewhere and you don't feel like you fit. I've heard so many so common things, you know, from preachers talking about, you know, a square peg trying to fit in a round hole. That doesn't work, you know. It won't fit. But we have to make the adjustments to fit in God's kingdom. You know, he's not going to make all the adjustments. He does repent. Okay, he does change his mind about things sometimes, but we have to fit in God's kingdom. And that's what I want to do. I want to fit in God's kingdom. Be a part of what he's doing. I have ideas, and I can give you my opinion, but I want to know what God think about it, you know. So anyway, we're going to pray for God's people. Any other requests? Sister Karen. Hannah Washington. Good. Okay, remember that need today. Brother. Okay. Sister Dotson. All right, remember Sister Dotson today, and also Brother Wallace. Remember him. Sister. Yes. Yeah, I did speak to her. I mean, good to see them here. She prayed for them. Yeah, I saw her up here. Yeah, she remembers Sister Rothfuss and her children. Yes, sir. Sister Lou Allen? Yeah. Remember Sister Lou Allen. Pray for her. She's not doing well. Sister Lacey. Okay, remember Sister Lacey's boss's mother and your dad. All right, Sister. Okay. Remember Sean. Remember Sean today, Sister Rachel. very good. Joey? Okay, remember him. That God would deal with his heart, all right? Okay. Sister Amra Chet. All right. Yeah, we. Right. Sister Ann McGowan and Sister Bunny, her sister, is in Alabama with her brother-in-law, her oldest brother. It's her brother, Sister Ann's brother, okay. His wife is not doing well. They don't expect her to not looking good. Jake and, all right. Jake and Sue Boyette, remember them, pray for them. Sister Brother Matt. All right, Reba and your house situation. All right. Sister Crow. Your babies, okay. Okay. Yes. Okay. What's her name, Sister Crow? Bernice. Remember Sister Crow's sister tomorrow. She's having this open heart surgery. All right, Brother Daniels. Stanley and Linda Fish. All right, remember them. Brother Tyrone. Okay. Okay, Sister Angie and the children, girls, on the way home. Pray for them. I think Sister Watson, is that Sister Watson out of town? She's out of town. They spoke.
Also, the
today.
Montgomery family, are they're in Glenwood this morning.
Glenwood, very good.
Just
all right.
Be back tonight.
Pray for them. Folks down there. Sister Wilkins. All right. Remember Sister Wilkins, her son Philip, Sister Abraham? Yeah. All right. Remember Sister Abraham, Jonathan, and Janina? Sister Jackie Tucker, okay. All right. Sister Spencer. The what? Okay. I don't know if I quite understand that, but anyway. Well, I understood what he said, but I don't. Anyway. Okay. All right, Spencer.
He's hurt.
Okay. All right. Let's all stand and take these needs and these requests to the Lord. Pray that He touches people. Oh, blessed be your holy name, oh God. Lord, we thank you this day for your mercy. Lord, help each need today, Jesus. Oh, blessed be your holy name, oh God. We want to pray, Lord, that you help your people. Lord, help us that our hearts will reach out. Oh, Jesus, blessed be your holy name, Lord. Praise the name, Jesus. Lord. Lord, Jesus, hallelujah, bless your people. Jesus, oh, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Oh, bless him. Jesus, yes, Lord, each needs to approach the Lord, touch her. Be with her, Lord. Merciful God, Jesus. Oh, yes, Jesus. Help Sister Smith. Lord, touch her. Sister Bridges. Jesus. Oh, blessed be your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm glad that I'm here today. You know, there are a lot of people out sick, and I feel for them, and I'm going to pray for them. They need our help. I know Brother Stewart, I've seen how hard he was working, and I thought, Lord, bless this man. Help him, you know. But I'm glad I'm here today. I was thinking how fortunate it was that I was able to be, that I'm able to be in the body of Christ, because, and I got to thinking, you know, how do I become righteous? And I kept going in my mind, you know, just be faithful. Just be faithful, you know. Just, and I got thinking, how do you be faithful, you know? And because I'm a type of person that, you know, I'm like a duck. If it don't rain, I'll walk, you know. So I might be here or I might be there, you know. And I thought, Lord, you know, kind of like the, you know, I'm kind of like a duck. I wake up in a new world every morning. And I just love to do anything. But I thought, Lord, I'm glad I'm in the body of Christ, and that he's trying to graft me in. He's trying to put me here. And I think, Lord, you know, I'm getting to where that I look forward to getting up and getting dressed and going to church every time it's here. Now, there's times that I haven't been able to make it, but I just try to crawl out of the bed and get in there and take a shower and get up and go to church, because I really look forward to coming. And that's a change. That's a change in my life that I feel like that it's a change for the good. And I thought, Lord, how do I be faithful? And I thought, and that just kept coming to me, you know, just keep going to church, and God will change your life. That comes to priorities. I'm trying to make God a priority in my life. I'm trying to, now I can only talk about me. I don't know about everybody else, what they do or whatever, you know, so I'm trying to tell you how God is dealing with me, you know. And I remember having a dream one time, and I dreamed that we were working on a foundation of this old house. I was in there, we were digging around in there, and of this old, it seemed like this old foundation was, you know, maybe 200 or 300 years old. And we got to digging down in this foundation there, and as we dug down on the inside, I remember on the inside, we were digging along the walls of this foundation. And we dug down about 2 or 3 foot. And I don't remember what the reason why we were digging there. We was going to do something shored up or something. But we got to pulling out these tools. And they were tools that were brand new saws and drills and chainsaws and just any kind of tool, woodworking tools and masonry tools and all these things. And I thought, Lord, this old foundation is 200 or 300 years old. Why are these brand new tools buried in this foundation? You know, and as you went further, you'd pull out a brand new, another tool of some kind, masonry tool or a saw or something like that, and it really bothered me. Of course, I went to Brother Smith, and he told me what it meant, but I thought, Lord, you know, I want to get established on this foundation. I want to let this foundation get established in my life, and let me be a part of the foundation. You know, I want to be, you know, I remember at the church in Republic, we had a rock wall in the back. And a lot of times I'd go there and I'd look at that rock wall. And I found a little bitty rock that was off down in the corner there. It was about that big around. I thought, Lord, if I could just be a rock like that, just a little bitty rock, at least I'm in the wall. At least I'm there, you know. At least I'm being a part of this foundation, this being a part of it. And because I know it sounds like I'm rambling on, but I'm trying to bring forth my heart, you know, to say that I'm glad that I'm a part of the body of Christ, because it does mean something. You know, this whole world out there, I know the scripture said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever will, that now my mind went blank, believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And I know that that's a big scripture, but there's more to it than even to that. But this world, this whole world is out there that's just going every which way, and they don't know that there's a God with a spirit that can get in your heart and in your life, that no matter what you go through, you know, you can go through all kind of turmoils and things in your life, but if you've got God, man, he can make the change. He can make the things so important. I remember, and I think about a lot of times about the health problems that I've got, and I've been trying to work on that and trying to get more exercise and get more this and that. But, you know, I remember the first time when I had a heart attack. I remember when I looked up and I seen that monitor. You know how they put you on a heart monitor, and it goes up and it reads your blood pressure and up and down, you know, go bleep, bleep, bleep. And that thing went flat. It went flat. And so there was about 4 or 5 seconds from the time I seen that thing go flat, that the lights went out on me. and I even had time to say, that thing went flat. You know, I think I told my brother that. I think he was sitting there and I said, the monitor just went flat or quit working or what. Well, I knew something had happened. And I don't remember, I never saw any bright lights or anything like that. But I know they said that they shocked me and this and that, and that's a traumatic experience. I would not want anybody to go through that, not at all, because it was so, the fear was just seemed like it's just unbearable. But I do know this, I know that when I came to, and I don't even remember this, I remember saying, Jesus, oh Jesus, help me. I was saying those words and not even consciously saying those. They was coming from my heart. And I believe that God intervened and helped me, and he touched my life. And so I do know God can do anything in our life, not only just our lives, but God can turn our lives around, where no matter what we go through, he can let us be changed if we just let him. If God can raise a man off his deathbed, he can do anything. He can do anything. I mean, if God can put the stars in the heavens, he can do anything. If God can put the fish in the sea, God can do anything. I have that much faith in him, because he has done the same for me. Not only has he given my life back, but he has given life that I can have everlasting. And I long for that. I love that. I love that because, and you know, I know the whole nature of me makes me do things, but by letting the power of God get in my heart and quicken my heart, pretty soon I'll overcome that. And that is. God, are you real? But when God does things for you like that, you know he's real. You know God is real. I don't understand how an atheist feels about why there is no God. If you just look around and look at the things that comes up and here and there, there is no way that you can say there is no God. And you know, the best way to know that God is real is to let him become part of your life. Let him become part of your life. No matter what we're going through, if you put God first in your life, he will make sure that you will enjoy your life. He will make sure of that. And so I just wanted to get up and just say how thankful I am to be here. And how thankful that God has let me become a part of the body of Christ, and that has let him, he has made himself known to me that he truly loves me. And so pray for us and our family. We need it, but I'm glad that I'm here. I'm glad I'm living. I am really glad that I'm in Little Rock, Arkansas. I really am. It's not that I don't miss Republic, but I do. But I love being here. I'm glad I'm meeting you folks and learning that I've got brothers and sisters everywhere that I can call on, and when we need prayer, I know who to go to. Any of you. And so I'm thankful that I'm here. Thank you.
Last week that Jesus had the advantage on us, and I got to thinking this week, you know, I got the advantage on people in Conway because I know where God is feeding his flock at noonday, and I'm thankful we're not just the blind being led by the blind like sheep-like robots that, you know, there are a lot of people this morning being blind, being led by the blind, so I like pictures in the Bible. Brother Smith was talking about not long ago about the picture of the temple being built on the threshing floor. So I'm thankful to be under a ministry that's been through the threshing floor, and thankful that God has opened our eyes. Brother Tucker used to say, if you come here and get the Holy Ghost, you're a Holy Ghost kitten, but if you stay around, get your eyes open, you become a Body of Christ kitten. So I'm thankful that we're Body of Christ kittens today, and our eyes have been opened. But I was reading that scripture this week in the Bible about bodily exercise profiteth little, but I have always been one that's been into exercise. 30 years ago, I could do 70 push-ups nonstop, but now that I'm getting older, they're declining. I remember when I moved to Conway 6 years ago, I could do 35 to 40. And then it dropped down to 25 to 30. And then there were some times here in the last year that I couldn't even do 20. And I thought, my goodness, what am I? I'm going downhill fast. So now I've built back up to 25 to 30. But 2.5 weeks ago, I was doing my push-ups and I got to 30 and I kept going, 35, I kept going. I was up, I did 40 and I was kind of in disbelief, you know, and I can't believe I just did that. I didn't know I still had it in me. And I got to thinking, you know, in the spiritual, I wish I could do things that I didn't know I had in me, that I could go farther than I thought I could go. But exercise, I mean, I do enjoy exercise, and it gets your blood flowing, and so I'm really into that. But, I surprised myself by doing those many push-ups, and, you know, surprises can be pleasant. And so there's a woman and her daughter that's been living across the street from me for a year. And I've seen this older couple over there, and so I just assumed it was her parents. So 2.5 weeks ago, I'm sitting there, and I see this man coming over my way, and he comes to the door, and he said, I'm doing my daughter's yard over there. I said, while I've got my weed eater, would you mind that if I do your weed eat your yard? I said, well, let me pay you. He said, no. I said, every time I do my daughter's yard, I'll do yours. And I thought, you know, how often does a complete stranger just come up and offer to weed eat your yard? So some surprises can be pleasant. But anyway, I was reading that parable recently about the workers in the vineyard, and the ones that came in at the last hour got the same pay as the ones that had worked all day. And of course, Jesus said that meant that many that are first shall be last, and the last first, for he said many are called but few are chosen. So I thought, you know, I can labor here in the kingdom and still not be chosen. But anyway, I'm thankful that I've been called. And so I like to read Billy Graham. Brother Tucker used to call him Silly Graham, but I like to read Billy Graham because of the silly questions he gets and some of the silly answers he gets. So somebody wrote recently and said their 10-day-old baby had died, and they wanted to be assured that baby was in heaven. So Billy Graham, of course, he assured him in the article that that baby was up there with God. And then somebody wrote into Billy Graham and said, I'm not a Christian, but I understand that there's three gods, that y'all have, that Christians believe in three gods. And Billy Graham said, no. Said it's one God, but then he went on and said Jesus is God and the Holy Spirit is God. But he said this is something that theologians have wrestled with for centuries. He said we won't understand that till we get to heaven. You know, I thought, well, the body of Christ had that figured out a long time ago. So he's really, really in the dark. And then somebody wrote in a question recently and said, how do you recognize a cult? And he said, well, if you be alarmed if you're around people that claim they have an insight on truth and that others are wrong and misguided. So so I guess Billy Graham wouldn't think too much of us. But anyway, thankful to be here. You know, Solomon said, much study is a weariness to the flesh, and of making many books there is no end. Of course, if Solomon was around today, he would be flabbergasted at the number of books, you know. But there's a book called The Power of One, and what it is, it's the one person that's had the most influence on your life. And so we all have people that have influenced us, but I would have to think that Brother Tucker was the one that had the greatest influence on me, because when I came here, I was invited and I didn't want to come, and I saw something different. Brother Tucker showed me something in the Bible that I had never seen before. So I'd have to say he was the one that had the most influence on my life. And you were talking about atheists, you know, as long as the world goes on, there's going to be this battle back and forth over Christianity, I mean, creation and evolution. So somebody wrote a letter in the Conway paper recently and said, well, no wonder our kids are like they are. They're taught like that they're animals. And this professor from Hendricks College, he wrote a big article in reply, and he said, now, that's propaganda. He said, he listed 6 books that he said, you just read these and you'll know that evolution is real. But he said, all people that believe in evolution are not atheists. He said, you can believe in evolution and believe in God. He said, there's even preachers that do that. So that was his view, and then somebody else wrote a letter in reply to that and said, well, now, there was a professor of law in California. He wrote a book, and he said he's checked into evolution, and the evidence just isn't there. So then somebody wrote back a reply to that and said, well, I mean, you can believe in God and believe in evolution, but he said the fossils just show that evolution is a fact. So that's something... You know, I mean, it gets confusing. I mean, the Bible says man has been here 6,000 years, and scientists say, well, he's been here for millions, well, I don't know about millions, but a lot longer than 6,000 years. So it gets confusing, but anyway, I believe the Spirit witnesses that God is real, and we're not just led here through our imagination. So the body of Christ is a great place to be, and I'm thankful.
Praise the Lord. Well, I appreciate the Lord today. this youth meeting that we just came out of, I feel like the Lord really blessed us in a great way. I want to mention again how thankful I am for all of your labors and hard work that you put forth to make the meeting such a success. I know a lot of people don't realize how much work goes into a meeting, and then the sacrifice of not only the time and work, but even taking vacation time and sacrificing that. You could use that for your own pleasure, and to give that to the Lord and the work of the Lord is, I think, remarkable, and I really appreciate it. I wasn't here the first night or the morning of the second day, but I did see some of the video and then got the reports, and it just, the whole meeting was such a good meeting. And then that last hour and a half or 2 hours, it was actually about an hour and a half before time to close, but it went over another hour. And Sister Perry, she really touched into the Spirit there in that last very end of the meeting, and I really appreciated the Lord touching our local people, and it reached down into the dining room. But I feel like our young people, not just here locally, but in the body of Christ, receive something, not only in the Spirit, but I think they receive some things. Of course, they are receiving the Word of God in their home assemblies. I feel like the Lord is really wanting to do something among the young people in the body of Christ, and I feel like that some tremendous things are ahead for the youth that will take the inspiration and the encouragement that God's given them and respond to what the Lord is saying to them, and I'm excited about what the Lord may be going to be about to do or is going to do through our youth in the body of Christ. Brother Tally was talking about the Lord has a plan, and He certainly does, and it's not easy to understand the plan of God. It's got to be, you have to have it in your mind to want to understand it and to seek God for an understanding of the His plan and how God, you know, this is a big project. God started 6,000 years ago. I know Brother Fleming mentioned and made reference to the fact that scientists, you know, they've got fossils and they have a way of dating layers of rock and ore, and you know they take some things back like 30 million years. Well, I wouldn't even start to believe that, but I realize that it's science, but I think we're serving a God that confounds the wise. God has a way of keeping man from finding him out and completely. You can't find out